Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And every time I hear that word grace, it just resonates in my soul, and it's just comforting to my soul. You know, the word grace, it's mentioned 170 times in the Bible. And so what is it? What is so amazing about this word and the power it has in our life? Well, for one, it's a gift, and it's a free gift. It's not something you achieve. You don't earn grace. It doesn't fall out of the sky and land in your lap because you have good character or because you're a good person. Grace is needed for our salvation. Without it, we have no eternal life. If we didn't have God's grace, we'd be just a bunch of lost souls wandering the earth waiting to die. Heaven and an eternal life with our Father would be pretty much out of the question. Grace is God giving you His strength. He gives you strength when you're weak. He gives you strength when you have no hope. He gives you strength when you face tough times and you just feel like throwing in the towel. Grace is also God giving you what is sufficient for your life. He doesn't give you any more and He doesn't give you any less. God is our perfect provision. He provides us things that we need and not necessarily what we want. And I know we need grace for our daily walk with God because we are sinners. And sinners are prone to stray and we're prone to wander. And without God's grace, we really have nothing. We have nothing. Grace is given to you, but you have to be willing to do something with it. That's what we're told to do. In 2 Peter 3:18, it says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Grow. Grow in grace, and we need to grow in knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us to do. By growing, God is glorified, and bringing glory to God is what should be our focus in all things. So we need to grow. But what is growth? Well, growth is not how many. It's not how many meetings you attend at church. It's not how many Bible verses you memorize. It's not how many minutes you spent in the devotion time this morning. It's not how many Christian books you read this last year. Growth is not a matter of how many. Growth is a matter of how much. It's the quality of life. It's how much closer am I to God this year than I was last year. It's how much more do I love my wife and kids because of God's grace. It's how much my character is being changed by God's power. It's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of quality. Jesus didn't say, "I came to give you more things to do in your life." He said, "I came to give you an abundant life. A new quality of life." He gave us His grace. He didn't give us grace as a gift to get us started. He gave us His gift of grace to keep us going. So how do you grow? The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:22, says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires." You see, we need to make a few changes in our life. We need to get rid of the garbage that's keeping us from growing closer to God. And what I want to do is I want to take a look at three ways how growth doesn't occur, because there seems to be a few misconceptions in most churches today about how growth does occur. And the first thing is that you can't grow in grace based on performance. Romans 11:6 says, "And if they are saved by God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's wonderful kindness would not be what it really is, free and undeserved." So we can't grow by good works. We can't grow by performance. Are you going to church every week just so you can feel better about what you did or did not do the week prior? Or do you go when it's convenient, when it fits into your schedule? Are you praying just to pray? Are you praying what my wife likes to call a cracker box prayer? These are the prayers that they really have no depth. They're not from the heart. They've just kind of become a daily habit in your life, and you just seem to pray the same things over and over and over again. Are you doing all the talking? Hoping that maybe God's hearing your every word? Because maybe you need to be doing some more listening so that God can grow you by speaking to you. I have a friend, his name's Kent, and we've been friends for about 15 years. And when we're together, we usually talk about, you know, hunting and fishing, and anybody that knows me knows I love to talk about hunting and fishing. You just mention it, and you'll have me sitting down for 3 hours. And one day, Kent and I were talking, and our conversation kind of got off of hunting and fishing, and we started talking about doing well in life and treating others with respect and working hard. And I asked Kent a question that kind of stumped him and confused him and didn't really know how to respond, but I said, Kent, do you believe in God? And he sat there for a minute and kind of stared at the ground, and he lifted his head. He goes, yeah, I believe in God. He goes, and I believe if we work hard and we treat others well and we treat others with respect, when we die, we're all going to go to heaven. And I said, oh, okay. And as I sat there, I thought, you know what? Kent's not a Christian. He probably hasn't stepped foot in a church in over 20 years. And I couldn't help but look back over the last 15 years that I've known Kent. And what I realized is that Kent's alone. He's lost. See, Kent's about 55 years old, and he really has no life to speak of. And over the last 15 years, or last few years anyway, his life has seemed to be in a downward spiral. He hasn't been able to keep a steady job. He's had health problem after health problem. He suffered with depression and anger. And the sad thing is, he doesn't even know why he's depressed or angry. And all the time that I've known him, I've always known him to be a pretty hard worker. And he's always tried to treat others well. But what has this gotten him? It's gotten him loneliness and depression and anger and sadness and frustration and disappointment. Now, do you think Kent's hard work will ever pay off? Do you think that Kent will be able to grow in grace by his performance? You know, we often make the mistake of thinking that if we work hard or we do good or we do the right things or we play by the rules, that we might be a better father, we might be a better husband, or a better mom, or a better wife, or a better friend, or better yet, a better Christian. But this isn't so. You see, because in all of this, the focus is on yourself. The focus is on me. And it's not about you, and it's not about me. The focus should be on God. And that's the only way that we're going to grow to be more like God created us to be, and that is to be more like Jesus. Look at this. Jesus says in Matthew 10:39, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, find both yourself and me. See, God isn't concerned about performance. The only thing he's concerned about is your growth with him. Second, you can't grow in grace based on your character. You know, I hear people all the time saying, he's nice, or he's caring, or she's sweet. She's always nice. Or how about this one? He's an upstanding citizen of the community. You know, all of these, if you agree, describe someone that has good character. But good character can also be described as someone that doesn't cheat, that doesn't steal, they don't lie. They play by the rules. But is having good character and playing by the rules going to help you grow closer to God? The Bible actually says that we fall away. And Galatians 5:4 says, "For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you've been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace." Well, so much for good character. Trying to live by good character alone is destructive. Because your living becomes based on you and not God. And God's forced out of the picture because our selfish desires get in the way. See if you fit into this picture somewhere. You consider yourself to be of good character. You're honest. You're caring. You're loving. You try to do your best. You try to be your best. But do you ever feel like you're running in circles? You ever feel like you're beating your head against the wall? Wondering why your life doesn't have more meaning and purpose? Do you feel like you're missing something? Are some of you saying right now, yeah, that's me. I feel like I'm missing something. But what do you think you're missing? You're missing God's grace. You're missing His grace. Third, you can't grow in grace by yourself. You need some help. But where do we get it? Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, a friend sharpens a friend." Look around for a minute. Look to your neighbor. Who do you see? These just aren't people that walked in off the street. These are your brothers and sisters in Christ. God put them here for a reason. He put them in your life for a reason. We're all here to help each other grow. You know, me being surrounded by everybody on Sunday mornings is great. And it was cool this morning. Some guys grabbed me and hustled me outside and prayed with me and kind of calmed my nerves a little bit. And that's great. And that was awesome. And I loved them for it and for doing it. And, you know, but if this is the only time of the week that I'm getting spiritually fed, the other 6 days of the week, I'm going to be pretty spiritually hungry. And that's why I need you guys. That's why I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just on Sundays. But we need them the other 6 days of the week too. We need to turn to one another for guidance and nourishment and growth. We need to pray for one another. We need to love on one another. You know, and one thing is I notice that as we encourage others to grow, we grow ourselves. So we need each other's help, but we also need God's help. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it." Now first, I want you to notice a few things. First, notice it says, "Let us." The Bible assumes that growth happens with us together, not alone. Notice it says boldly. That means don't be afraid to go to God for help. And the third thing is, notice it says that God will have mercy on you. Regardless of where you're at, what you're facing, what challenges you might be facing ahead, or what you're going through, or what you've done, God's going to have mercy on you. And it also says that you will find grace. Because where you find God, you find grace. You can't grow on your own, but with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and with God, you can grow. So if you can't grow based on performance, and you can't grow based on character or by yourself, how can you grow in grace? Well, the second part of Ephesians 4 says this in verse 23 and 24. "Be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." Put on the new self, Paul tells us. But what's he talking about? He's talking about growing in grace. He's talking about growing spiritually. And to do that, we need to exercise patience. And we need to understand that spiritual growth doesn't happen quickly. It doesn't happen overnight. As bad as we would like the success of our growth to happen overnight, it doesn't work that way. See, our growth is kind of like a seed. And the word seed, is used several times in the Bible for a metaphor for growth. Jesus used it in Matthew 13:38 to describe the growth of children. Peter uses the word seed to describe the inevitable life that is invested in believers when they receive Christ through the word, that imperishable seed. And that's from 1 Peter 1:23. Paul uses seed the same way in 1 Corinthians 3:6. He says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. And just like a seed that is planted in the ground, we need germination and development and transitions and fruition and multiplication. The author Simone Weil describes this growth this way. And I love the way she describes this here. God crossing the infinity of time and space to knock at the doors of our hearts like a beggar to possess us in love. If we consent, God puts a little seed in us and he goes away again. The seed encounters weeds and thorns and rocks must be removed. And sometimes this gardening feels like a violent process, but on the whole, the seed grows of itself. As we grow over time like a seed, how many of you have to remove thorns? How many of you have to remove weeds? How many of you have to push rocks out of the way? And through all the gardening and the cultivating that we have to do in our lives, it's God that continues to grow us. Growth does take time, and it is a process. The second thing you need to do to grow in grace is to exercise persistence. In Ephesians 4:24, Paul says that we are to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Putting on the new life. Now, there's a decision that I get to make, that I'm allowed to make every day of my life about this new life that God wants to give. And that decision is that I do get to put it on. Let's say I have an old coat and a new coat. And God says, I want you to take off the old coat and put on the new one. Before you become a believer, you don't have the power to do this. But once you become a believer, you have the power to make a choice. But we struggle with that sometimes. Sometimes we think, God, I know you've made changes in my life, but I kind of like this old way. I kind of like some of the old things that I still do. And I'm just going to try that for a while. But let me tell you, once you become a believer, that old way, that old coat, is going to start to get uncomfortable. It's not going to feel so good anymore, and you're going to want to have to take it off. You just want to get rid of it. Does anybody like me and find it difficult sometimes to put on the new? You know, for those of you who don't know, during the week, I'm a contractor, and I've been in construction for about 15 years. And a few years ago, a friend of mine asked me, he says, Chad, is it tough being a Christian in the work you do? And I said, I thought about it for a minute and thinking about everything that goes on in my work. And I kind of surprised him with what I said, because in case you haven't noticed or you don't know, there's a huge mission field in construction. I mean, there's a lot of people that need to be saved. I know it. I know from experience. So my response kind of surprised him, and I said, yeah, you know what? It is tough. And it's not because of the people that I work with, I don't go out with them after work. It's what goes on at work. Did you know that if you're around bad language long enough that your ears become deaf to it? When I was a superintendent a few years ago, I can tell you that my wife noticed it. See, I'd be at work all day and I'd be around all the bad language and all the bad jokes, and I'd come home and I think that I would use every cuss word that I heard that day. I mean, I would make, some days I felt like I could make a trucker blush. But you know what? I didn't even notice it. I never gave it a thought. But Jana gave it a thought. Yeah, Jana gave it a thought, and she said if I didn't stop, she was going to wash my mouth out with soap. But you see, the reason I didn't notice it is because that's what I was surrounded by all day. That's what I was hearing every day. And I wasn't discerning enough to see that I was falling victim to the influences of the world. I allowed myself to be trapped by the very thing that I was trying to avoid. Being a Christian in construction is tough, yeah, but being a Christian in today's world, I think that's a lot harder, don't you? It's challenging in the world we live in today to be more like Christ. And there's this ugly person called Satan that tempts us, he influences us, he corrupts our minds, and he tries to destroy the very thing we're trying to do. And that's grow closer to God and build a relationship with Him. And how does he do it? Well, he does it through TV, what we watch on TV. He shows up in our workplace, around the water cooler, or around the copy machine. He shows up in our emails and on the internet. He even shows up on the radio. Satan is all around us, waiting to strike and destroy our lives. And you see, the things that influence us the most will be those things that define who we are, how we see others, and how we treat others. They influence how we are as a husband, and how we are as a wife, how we are as a dad, and a mom, and a friend. And they will even influence how we are as Christians. So what's influencing you? Is it the TV? Because maybe it's time to shut the TV off and spend some more time in the Word. I know I need to do that. And I also know that if it was up to my wife, we wouldn't own a TV. Are you hanging around the water cooler too much? Are you exposing yourself to the office gossip and the office rumors and the sexual innuendos that go on at work? What about the computer? Are you addicted to surfing the net? Are you addicted to something on the internet? Maybe you need to do a hard shutdown on your computer and open up a soft-covered book called the Bible. Now, some of you are saying, well, Chad, if I do that, I'll lose everything on my computer. My computer will crash. And I say, so what? Because you're going to have more time for your family, and you're definitely going to have more time for God. Why is it that we get so caught up in everything that goes on in our world? Now, we're sinners, yeah. But you know what? The world is designed to suck us in. It's designed to grab our attention. Look around. Look at what's on TV. Look at the ads that are on TV. Look at the stuff that's in the newsstands, in the magazines. See, sex sells. Beer sells, gossip sells, rumors sell. We can be bought and sold every day of our life if we don't keep our eyes on God every single day. And spiritually growing people do that. They keep their eyes focused on God, and they don't allow the influences of the world into their lives. They don't get caught up in what they read on the internet or what they watch on TV. They don't get caught up in the office gossip and the rumors. They ignore that stuff. They don't get so engrossed in TV that a TV show takes time away from their family. It doesn't take time away from God. God cannot possibly change your heart if influences from the outside world or from the world are corrupting it. God cannot possibly change your mind if you are filling it with garbage from magazines and TV and the internet. Spiritually growing people allow God to change their hearts and their minds, and they do it by guarding their hearts and their minds. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. By guarding our hearts, we allow God to change the way we think. We take the focus off ourselves and we put it on God. And we're able to grow. We're able to become more like God intended for us to be. To be created like Christ in true righteousness and holiness. You know, I have a choice to make. If I put on the sin-stained coat of my old life, then my choice is based on my performance, it's based on my character, and it's based on me. And the result is that my growth will be lost in the pockets of a sinful world. If I choose to put on the new coat, then my choice is based on me being patient and me being persistent. And it is also based on God's will, not my will. And the result is that my growth will be overflowing in the pockets of a grace-filled world. We have a choice to make. Do we put on the new coat or do we put on the old coat? Well, if we choose the old coat, God tells us what can happen. This isn't going to be on the screen, but you can write this down from Galatians 5:16. So I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. See, by choosing the old coat, we're going to be more prone to wander. We're going to be more prone to stray. And then sin takes over and controls who we are and what we do. But if we choose the new coat, God promises us this. Ephesians 4:14-15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. See, the choice is yours, but you have to make it. I have to make it. No one else can make it for you. God Himself can't even make it for you. And every day when we wake up in the morning, we have a choice to make. Do we put on the old coat or do we put on the new coat? So I ask you this morning. What choice are you going to make? Are you going to put on the old coat or are you going to put on the new coat? You pray with me? Oh, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. That if our performance is getting in the way, Lord, that you would make that clear. And Lord, I pray that if our character is keeping us from growing with you, I pray that our hearts would be open to allowing you to change our character. And Lord, I pray that if we feel like we can go this alone, that we're going to grow on our own, that we don't need anybody's help, Lord, that you would also change our heart and our mind to know that there's no way that we can grow on our own. Lord, we need you and we need our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I pray for that right now, Lord, that if we're struggling with that area of our life where we're trying to do things on our own, I pray that you would just make a dramatic change, Lord, right now. And Lord, as you make that change in our hearts, I pray that your patience would spill over into our souls, Lord, and that your patience would become our patience. Lord, you are so patient with us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the same patience with each other, with our growth, with our families. And Lord, I pray that we would be persistent in our growth. Lord, that every day when we get up in the morning, that our first focus would be on you, Lord. And that we would say, you know what, God? I'm not going to live this old way. I'm going to put on the new life. I choose today to put on the new life because I want to bring glory to you, Lord. So, Lord, I pray over these people. Lord, if there's someone in this room today that's struggling with what we talked about, Lord, that you would change their hearts, that you would change their minds. If something from the outside world is influencing their lives, Lord, I pray that you would make it obvious and that they would take that you would remove that, Lord. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for your grace. It is free and undeserved, but you pour it out on us every day. And we are thankful. We are thankful for the way you grow us. And thankful for your love. Let's pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.